All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. My name is Dan Hafner. If you are joining me for the very first time, welcome back or welcome to the show. If you're joining, coming back, I really appreciate any repeat listeners. Have another cool guest for you guys today. Susie Consoli. It's going to be really, really fun conversation around the topic of marketing, kind of her story of how she got into this. But, you know, we're going to, like I try to always do, we're going to talk a little bit about some failures, some mess ups, some interesting things. So it's not just going to be another marketing conversation, I promise. So, but before I bring her in, as always, please subscribe, please give us a like, give us a share, anything that you can do wherever you're listening or watching, whether it's on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever, that is super, super appreciated. So with that being said, welcome to the show, Susie. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So for a little bit of background, I'll let her introduce herself as well too. But Susie is the founder of Lawson House, which is, when I first heard the word, I thought it was a book publishing company, but that is not what it is. It is a marketing company, and you're based in Atlanta, correct?
Yep. So our team's fully remote, but I'm in Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I kind of dove down the rabbit hole on Lawson House. I didn't realize it was such a big agency, a really go-to type of company. So kudos to you for building this. How did you get into this? You know, what was the backstory?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. So kind of, I got into this and woke up one day and realized I had accidentally started a business. I hadn't really ever said, hey, I'm going to go and start this whole marketing thing, or really never thought I'd start a marketing agency. When I was living in Nashville, right before COVID, I started to try to practice yoga more and got really into the boutique fitness side of Nashville, but could not afford it. And felt like, wow, I would love to work out at these places. My friends all go here. But on the salary I had, it just wasn't going to happen. So I started approaching some of these fitness owners and saying, hey, would you let me do some freelance marketing for you in exchange for free yoga classes? And a few of them said yes, and I started to kind of cut my teeth on some email campaigns that were terrible. They were very nice to me and gave me great feedback, and I started to learn and kind of realize, man, there's a whole freelancing world out here. In 2020, like a lot of people, I lost my job and found myself in this place where I was like, I don't really know what I want to do next. Nobody's hiring in the marketing space. I have been doing work within a company on their internal marketing team for a while. My husband said, well, you've been trading for yoga classes for a while. What if you traded it for money and saw if you really liked being a freelancer for a little bit? So we decided to do that. I said, I'll give it 3 months. And then 3 months turned into 6 months. And before I knew it, I tripled my salary. And so in 6 months, I kind of 3x'd what I was making. And I went home to where I am now in Atlanta. We moved back. And my dad said, how's your business going? And it hit me all of a sudden. I was like, I have a business. Like, this is really happening. I didn't really see it coming until that moment. And since then, we've hired 8 full-time people. We have an army of contractors, and we really have scaled. But in the beginning, I never thought that's what it could be. We were just trying to pay the bills and kind of make ends meet.
Wow. Very cool. That's very interesting how you started with the barter system too. That's, I really like that. You know, if I could go back, I probably would have done that. I didn't really think about that when I was starting, because I started right around COVID time as well.
Yeah.
And that's actually a very good idea. I mean, for anyone out there that's, you know, because I think when people start up, they're like, how do I get clients? How do I start doing these things? You know what I mean? And that's, there's always that ability. Like the expertise market will never go out of business. Like if you are an expert in something or you have a skill in something, you can always barter that. And I think people kind of have like this need of, well, I got to make money. I got to figure out, like, if I want to replace my income, like you were like, well, you didn't approach it with money right around, you know, right out of the gate. You know what I mean? So that's super interesting. Kudos.
Well, and you said some, thank you. You said something really important there in that, you know, people say, well, I'm an expert in this and I can trade that. I was not an expert at the time. I really was trying to break into something new. I was trying to, like I said, kind of cut my teeth on this. And so even it took the pressure off of me. If somebody had paid me, I think the imposter syndrome would have crushed me. I was just like, I don't know how to do this. But because It was a, friend system. I was taking yoga classes for free. It wasn't really any high pressure. I actually did better work and worked a lot harder on it because there wasn't this overwhelming sense of, oh, I've got to really pull this off. And so for them, it was kind of a bonus, and it ended up working out well, building my confidence to where then when somebody said, "Hey, I do want to pay you to do this," I was like, "Okay, like I've done this before. I've got some repetition, and I've seen success without that kind of, oh my gosh, this has to work, or we're, gonna never make it, and this business is gonna
Wow.
collapse."
That's interesting. I mean, I never thought about it that way, but yeah, looking back on my own experience, I can see that. I think I did let that kind of imposter syndrome kind of get to me in the beginning because I'm like, oh my gosh, like somebody paid me a good amount of money to do
Yeah.
this thing. And I'm like, oh crap. That's
Exactly.
really, really interesting. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, so I've been really grateful that they, took a chance on me and grateful that they gave me feedback. I mean, that was super important that they weren't just like, "Hey, this isn't working," but they were like, "Hey, this email feels a little off," and it got me to get to a place where the feedback was welcome instead of it hearing it as, "Oh, I'm not going to be able to figure this out." So the stakes were just kind of low all the way around, which was a great place to start.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, okay, so fast forward to today. What have you
Yeah.
guys managed to do since then?
Yeah, so once I realized, hey, I'm loving building this business. This is actually really fun. I'm an accidental entrepreneur, but found this community of entrepreneurs, and I was like, oh my gosh, these people are as crazy as I am. This is great. I love this space. We started to take on a lot of clients. 2020, everybody needed to get online, so we grew really fast. We were doing a lot of different things like website in a day. We just tried to do a lot of different product offerings that felt faster and different than what other agencies were doing. We added on more and more people to the team who we felt like could fill in some of the gaps, like project management or designers who could come in and really focus on one niche area, such as brand design or UX design, and start to up level some of those offerings. And so, over time, as we built out the team and built out our lead generation systems, we were able to get into some really awesome markets and start to work with people in different service-based industries. So now we do full service marketing, but definitely kind of built it brick by brick.
So Lawson House kind of went horizontal, is what you're saying. Like you kind of, it's not like you just do gyms or you just do restaurants or you just do yoga. It's like it's really any small business.
Yeah, so I would say any small business, we really do focus on service base. So we did some in the e-com space, but that is its own animal.
Yeah.
And there are people who are incredible e-com experts, and we found that that's much more of a math equation and a lot more on the conversion side. Your message isn't as important as a service-based business. And messaging is really where we have the foundation of all of our offerings.
Okay. Let me ask you this real quick. In your opinion, obviously, do you think starting a marketing company today is a smart idea? Is it too flooded of a market? Is there just too much noise out there? Would you go back and start a new marketing company from today? And the reason I ask is because, there's a I think that's one of the most like lucrative type of things out there. Like you said, you tripled your salary in like what, 3 or 4 months, something like that. But for those of us in this type of world, like I see all kinds of stuff on Facebook. I'm in it, so I kind of am targeted with that type of stuff. But yeah, like it, do you think it's still a good market to get into?
It is. I was lucky enough to not know that it was a super saturated market. So I kind of
Okay.
went in blind and was like, this is crazy. Why wouldn't everybody do this? And then I found out they are. I think that going the freelancer route first and seeing how you like it, and building from there is the way to go. And I think that building it around what you like to do, I've really fell in love with websites. I was a coder, when I first started, and I fell in love with that. I think it allows you to fill holes that you see other agencies missing and kind of find, hey, this is what we offer specific people. There's plenty of clients to go around for everybody. And if you want to start a marketing company, what I would encourage somebody to do is figure out just what makes you a little bit different. Can you do it faster? Can you do it cheaper? Can you do it at a higher level? What is that thing that makes you guys Interesting. It's kind of like we approach it from more like a PR standpoint than we would necessarily a business development standpoint. So it's almost like what makes you newsworthy, what makes you different, or what makes you timely, what makes you stand out. And that's kind of how we've tried to approach our different offerings.
Yeah, and that's hard to do. I mean, even like I think about it from like I think about that with myself. I'm like, what makes me newsworthy? What makes Dan so special? You know, what makes Susie so special? You know, I think it's natural for human beings to like kind of downplay that of themselves, but that's really something you kind of have to like overcome and you have to just get over yourself about, you know? That's very interesting when you say that, yeah.
The other thing that I see a lot of people do now, and again, maybe it's the market that I'm in that I just see this a lot, but they build the marketing agency around themselves and they say, well, what makes it different is that I'm really unique, right? And when I first started, we called it Susie Marketing. Did not put a lot of thought into the name. And a lot of people thought my last name was marketing, so it just got really awkward. But we ended up changing it because I said, I just don't want this to be the Susie show, for a lot of reasons. I don't want to answer the phone every day and people be looking for me specifically because it's my name on the door. And I want to be able to have a team. That was my ultimate goal. And so I see a lot of people kind of build the influencer model and marketing agency side of it together. And I think that's a really interesting decision that you have to make that a lot of people end up just kind of falling into by accident. But if you can label, hey, this is going to be, I'm the face of this brand or I'm not, if you can make a decision there, I think you'll grow it more intentionally.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so let's put you on the spot then. So, you know, with Lawson House, you know, what is your unique branding philosophy for Lawson House? Like how did you separate that then from Susie Marketing?
So really what we decide, what we saw a
Wait,
lot
hold
of.
on. Time out. Is there like something going on in the background over there?
My neighbors have lawn care going on next
Ah,
door. Can you hear
okay.
me okay? I'm so
Yeah, there's a little bit of background noise with it, but we'll see what we can do with it.
sorry. Okay, they should be moving in just a second, so hopefully it
Okay.
won't be
All
too
right.
bad.
Didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
So when it comes to how we've separated ourselves from marketing agencies who are out there, we saw that most people were either taking the approach of, hey, we do messaging, and they stopped at copy. They only worked on the words, right? Or you could hire a design agency and they were making things look beautiful, but they didn't really have any kind of strong message or any kind of clarity around what the offering was. And so you ended up with a beautiful website that says, we have innovative solutions. Well, that could be anyone, right? Or you had really clear words, but it was all delivered to you in a Google Doc. And so what we tried to do is bring those pieces together. So our whole branding philosophy is that a strong brand is made up of words that make people do things, visuals that make people feel things, and we bring both of those elements together. And when we saw that that was a missing piece in the market, to us it felt like this is a no-brainer. But whenever I am pitching people on websites and I say, yeah, copies included, that is like light bulb moment for people. They're like, I don't have to sit there and fill out this form and go through all this stuff. And so that was the hole that we saw. And I think sometimes that can be that simple. We said, man, a lot of people aren't bringing these two elements together. We can do that.
Very interesting. That's cool. I mean, I think that's, yeah, I mean, like you hear again, just being in the space, like you hear again and again, like copy is the one thing that is, you know, and for those of you who are listening, like copy is just the wording, right? It's just the actual language on the
Totally.
page, right? And yeah, like I mean, there's people that can like that are copywriters that charge probably way more than you and I even charge. You know what I mean? Like for like the big type of things, you know? So that's very cool that you can include that.
Yeah, and we've really felt like even when we do logos now, we just decided, and this is a more recent development, but we said if we're going to do logos, we're going to give them the words too for how to describe their business. Messaging and branding is just going to always come together for us, because we believe it's a both and. A strong brand can't exist if you don't have a clear call to action, and it also can't exist if it's just words on a page.
Right. So I want to transition to this because when we had met again, like I tell a lot of people on a very cool platform called Podmatch, which I will endlessly shout out. If you haven't checked out the interview I did with the Podmatch founder, Alex Sanfilippo, go back and listen to that for any of you listening. It was super awesome. Anyway, we met on Podmatch, Susie and I, and she had a link there that's called Launch 38. And I was very intrigued and I was like, what is Launch 38? So I clicked on it and it was like a light bulb moment for me. So we're going to talk a little bit about this. So I want you to share this concept of Launch 38. What did it come from? What is it? Because it's basically a new website launch in 38 hours, right? Mm-hmm. It's this 5 days of completely either redoing the website or launching a new website. And that's such a game changer. You mentioned earlier, you said something about website in a day, which is interesting. I feel like this is probably a little bit more of a robust thing, but anyway, I don't want to steal your thunder. What is Launch 38? Where did this come from? What's been the result with this so far?
Yeah. So when I first started, so right in COVID, when I started working with people, I was working with people who, like me, were trying to get their businesses off the ground. And they were having to make a lot of hard decisions. Do I invest in branding or do I invest in a website? Do I invest in a website or do I invest in social media marketing? And what experts do I trust? And how do I bring all this together? As we scaled Lawson House, I was having to turn these people away who were starting businesses because we were scaling up. We were raising our prices. We had more people. We had a higher level of service. And it was killing me because these were the people that were my favorite type of clients. I think you can have your ideal type of client, but you always have a soft spot for that favorite type of client too. Yeah. And these were my favorites and I loved them and I loved their crazy ideas. And they said, you know, I want to start this and this has been a dream. And my favorite type of client always starts with, I have this dream of what I want to start. I might be at a 9-to-5 or I might be doing this on the side just because that's where I was. And so we started talking about how can we package up what we're doing at Lawson House and make it accessible and make entrepreneurship more accessible for people who are in that space. And as we started kicking it around, we came up with this whole course and it was going to be 38 days of how to launch your message, your brand, your website, and your social content. And we mapped it all out and I sat down to film all the videos and I was like, something feels off. And I couldn't put my finger on it. And I started calling some of my business mentors and I was like, we're going to do this course. And I got the same response every time. They were like, oh, that's cool. And I was like, man, no one is excited about this. I'm not excited about it. Like, I don't want to watch 38 videos of me and no one's going to want to go through this on their own. What they really need is a quick turn solution. Nobody has 38 days to wait to generate revenue. Nobody's got 38 days to try to get this business off the ground. What they need is they already told their neighbor that their website was coming soon and they haven't started it, or they already bought an online course, or they have a YouTube video booked or bookmarked, but they haven't watched it yet. What if we did a done for you offering? And could we actually go through what we just outlined in 38 hours? Because this is what we're experts in. And so we condensed it down. We met with the team. We had this crazy whiteboard that I've got a picture of somewhere where we said, what if we just did it for people and did it at the same price point as a course so that it was just done. And so in 5 days, we focus on messaging, branding, a website, and it's a 6-page website. And then a content plan. And so in 5 days, you walk away with all of that launched.
You know, what's so amazing about that is I had no idea you were going to make it a course. That's really interesting. That's very interesting because I think that's kind of the default thing. I've thought about that too. You know, I've made a whole course and all that kind of stuff too. You know what I mean? So I went through and did all of it. Now, I think there's a stat out there. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I have to find it, but isn't there like a stat that like 95% of courses that are bought are never even like gone through or something like that?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's super interesting because also in this world, you know, at least from everything that I've learned and gone through is that if something is done for you, you can expect to pay a lot more money because you're paying for someone's time. You're paying for their expertise, right? We have a guy coming to look at our laundry machine today that's been crap in the bed for like 3 weeks. Like, he's an expert in this. He's coming to do this. So I'm expecting to pay more money than if I went to like Home Depot and got the part that I might need. I don't know how it works, right? So you're going to pay more money. So this is super, super interesting because the price point for this is really not that high. Mm-hmm. And it's you almost took this thing and like flipped it on its head. You're like, hey, we're still going to like do this thing for you, but we're not going to charge you $100,000, you know, or $50,000 or something like that. You know what I mean? So when I saw it, I was like, damn, this is cool. This is cool.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been really fun. And, if we keep your washing machine analogy going too, if somebody who's an expert does it for you, you're so much more confident in it, right? You're
Yeah.
going to very quickly be like, yeah, this works and it's fine. If you do it yourself, every website I've built for my own company, and we have people that work on our websites just because I tortured myself for so long. What should this say? And what should my bio say? And which headshot should I use? And I finally was like, if somebody else does it, I will send it to more people. I will, feel more confident. I'll be more salesy and we'll make more money. And so I really believe that for people who get so tied up in the, should we say incredible or amazing? Should we make it $4.99 or should we make it $500? What's the best way to do this? If somebody comes in and just gives you a path, you are so much more likely to close more deals, find more clients, make the most of your business because you feel better about it.
Yeah, I mean that goes back to what we talked about earlier, where I think there's a psychology thing in there. It's like I think a lot of us, at least me, when I got started, and there's still times, there's always that imposter syndrome of, well, I'm scared to share this. I'm scared to be vulnerable. I'm scared to share this thing that I've put so much time and effort into, and then just have people shit all over it. You know what I mean? And I think like that removes this. Like when you have, it's like, well, somebody else created this, so it's not me that's being that, I'm not putting my thing out there,
Exactly.
you know? That's super interesting. I just got done. Well, I'm not done with it, but I just launched this new app platform that we put together, and I built all of it. And I went to these events and I did these things and I did the promotions and seeing people looking at it and trying to sell it and do all this type of stuff. It was super vulnerable. Like I had
Yeah.
nobody to lean back on. Like I built the entire thing
Yeah.
myself. There was not a single outside person that did anything on it. So it was super vulnerable. It was super weird. And I was like, oh man, like I didn't realize this was gonna feel this way. I haven't done that for myself in a long time. But that's part of why I did it though, is because
Yeah.
I've been doing this for people. And now I went through it myself and I'm like, oh wow, I really see like now from the client's perspective of like how interesting this actually is, you
Yep.
know?
No,
Very
absolutely. And I think for a lot of people too, they don't realize how much money it costs them to wait to launch,
Oh my
right?
gosh, yeah.
So a lot of times they look at it as I invested $1,500 in a course, but they don't think about all the people that they're missing by not having it done, by not getting their website up, by not fixing it, by not making it searchable. I mean, there's so many different areas. And I made these mistakes too of, oh, well, I'll get to that later. I'll work in my own business later. And I left tons of money on the table just by not getting things done quickly.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's, and that, but that's hard to see. It's hard to quantify, and
Yeah.
it's hard, you know what I mean? It really is. I've been there. I've been there for
Yep. One
sure.
of the things that we've worked in is so we give you 38 days of social media prompts, and it's just how to announce your business, whether you're launching or relaunching, just what to talk about on stories and things like that. But one of the things I include is the really cringy first story that I put up when I first launched what is now Lawson House. And it's me in, my backyard, and I'm like, hey, I'm doing marketing. It's not super well put together, but it led to a seven-figure agency. And I want to share that with people just because I'm like, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be done, but it does need to be out there and published, and people need to be able to see what you're doing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, one just a random side shoot
Yeah.
story to just tie in with that. Did you see the, I don't want to make this controversial because there's people who love him and hate him, but did you see the commercial on the Super Bowl with Kanye West or whatever his new name is? Yay, or I don't even know. It was literally him in his car, just with his phone. You know what I mean? Like they said they had no budget to actually film the nice like commercial. They put all their budget into just having the slot, which was like $7 million or something. It was literally him with his phone, like, hey, check it out. I got these cool shoes for sale, blah, 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 whatever. I made like $20 million on that stupid thing.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's unbelievable. Like that for me, when I heard that, I had no idea about it. I don't even know if I saw the commercial, to be honest. Like, I was like, that is literal proof. I mean, he
Yeah.
has name recognition, obviously. You know what I mean? Like, so there's that. But
Right.
Like there's that's such a game changer in terms of like these. I see so many people that like you said, like just worry about like this one little word or this one little thing, and like they're super meticulous about all this different stuff. And in the end, to quote Linkin Park, it doesn't even matter. You know what I mean? It's just, I mean it matters, but like it really like it's just taking action and just figuring it out. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I really believe that it takes money to make money, right? I think that you have to bet on yourself. You've got to put, not even because you need the best thing out there, I'll talk about that in a second, but because you have to have some stakes in order for it to matter to you. And so when you put something into your business, you're going to work harder to get something out of it. But I think a lot of people fall for the, it takes more money to make more money. And that's not necessarily true. If you spend $10,000 on a website, it might yield the same as if you don't invest that much right away, which is why I think you got to get something done. You have to get something out there as the prototype first.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying. Well, okay, so before I got another question regarding that, but so with the Launch 38 piece, what does that end up costing people?
Yeah, so we've got two different options for people. They can pay in full, and we say, hey, this is your most cost savings. It's $2,500, so one-time payment. There's no ongoing, subscription model or anything after that. It's just one flat fee. Or you can do three payments of $900. And so we try to break it up that way. So we say, hey, best for cash flow is the payment plan, but best for long-term savings is the $2,500.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's just like you said, a one-time upfront like kind of thing. But that could literally make it back. You make depending on what you sell, you know what I mean? Like you can make that back very quickly. That's awesome. Well, and I will share with you guys just so you're listening. We'll say this again at the end, but Susie hooked me up with a cool code for you guys. So if you actually want to do that, and you want to get a new site, or you want to revamp your site, or whatever you want to do, and you want to buy the Launch 38 deal. We'll share the link with it, and it's in the show notes as well. But if when you go check out, put in Dapper, DAPPER 250, that'll save you $250. All right. So thank you, Susie, for hooking everybody up with that. We really
Oh my
appreciate it.
gosh, of course. And all of this comes back to a lot of our model here has been just working with amazing partners, and finding people who are saying, hey, this is really so beneficial to our audience to make entrepreneurship more accessible. And so we've been lucky enough to find partners like you who want to see people start businesses, and people are so creative and amazing. We want to get more of those businesses launched.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, that was one thing that when I saw you on PodMatch, I was like, I gotta have you on and talk about this because this is awesome. This is one thing that I'm trying to get away from. There was times where even though I do app and software development, like I wanted to get away. I took on website clients, I did all that kind of stuff, but I don't want to do it. Like I'm not good at it. I don't want to do it, right? So that's why, again, like having a partner like you to say, hey, somebody's like, hey, I want to do this or have this done. Okay, go. Great. Talk to Susie, talk to Caroline, talk to whatever. And get it handled, you know what I mean? But then I told you this before we hit record, like you inspired me at the same time to kind of take your model, and I've kind of had this idea birth now, which I'll share with you guys here before it's even public. I don't even have anything launched with this yet. But the idea is, again, like you just said, business, making it more accessible, making this, idea of good marketing and good branding online, accessible. I had the idea, I was like, what if I did that with app and software development? What if, what, and just like you said, like, what if you could take what you're doing over here and put it over here? And I said, what if I could get someone who has an app idea, a SaaS idea, a tech startup idea, and get them built, launched, and published in, I don't know if I can do it in 38 hours and 14, in 5 days. I originally had that, but it might, 14 days. What if it was 14 days, 21 days, something like that, like something super MVP-ish, ready to go out the door, starting. So I'm working on that. I'm working on, and thanks to you, I got
I love that.
idea of kind of modeling exactly what you do to make it more accessible, not as high ticket, more affordable for people to say, hey, you know what? I've always had this app idea, right? And maybe like for you, like people that come to you and they're like, I've always had this business idea. I just want to get this launched. I want to do photography. I want to do whatever, dog walk, but like whatever the case might be, they can do it and they can get it launched. They can be like, all right, I'm investing this self. I'm gonna bet on me. I'm gonna go. Right. This idea is more like, hey, I've always had this idea for this app or this company or this tech startup or whatever. Like maybe this could be the thing that like I'm gonna invest in it. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go monetize. I'm gonna launch it and see what happens. So I'm working on that for you
Love that.
guys. So
Awesome.
yeah.
Well, it's funny. We've seen a couple of people who have said, what if, I think it's such a better model than what if I made a DIY offering? I feel like that was the move during COVID. Everybody wanted to take what they were doing and make a DIY offering, but nobody has time anymore. And the beautiful thing about what you're building in Launch 38 is that you paint a vision for people of, hey, by next Friday, if you haven't signed up, we could have been done by now, right? You're painting this vision of FOMO for people that gets really tricky, where we start to follow up with people, we're like, your site could have been live today. Don't wait another week, right? Take down that coming soon page and let's get this done. And so I think there's a great just kind of pain point there that you speak to that is, hey, life's short. You don't want to wait on this great idea.
Yeah, and I mean, I will be honest, ever since the start of my business, I've tried to come up with these DIY offers, and I've had a hell of a time selling them, to be honest. I just and that's advice for anyone listening. Like if you really think like your course is going to be the next thing or whatever, like it might be. Maybe I don't know. I've never really had been able to launch a successful course, and I've taken courses on launching successful courses, you know what I mean? But I think you're right. Like I think there's more of a market for this. Like again, when a lot of people come to me, they're just like, I could do this myself, especially with what I do with no code, with like you could learn this. You got into coding, you could probably learn this type of stuff. But it's like, again, it's like, I don't have the time. I don't want to do this. Just if I tell you what I want, can you go do it for me? Yes, great. Here's what it costs. Awesome. Like it can be that simple. You know what I mean? Man, that's awesome. Okay,
And
well anyway, go
you get to
ahead.
make your own rules too. You get to
Yeah.
say, this is how we're gonna do it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I didn't want to lose sight of this because I wanted to ask you, like when you talked about the loss and house stuff and coming up and everything. I always like to ask this with people because I like to take everyone down a notch. Not that you needed to take it down, but like what was your biggest failure, whether it was loss and house, whether it was something else, like is there any lessons that you learned inside of failures that you could share with us at all?
Yeah, I was thinking about that because I know that you typically ask this question. So I was trying to think of kind of which failure to pull from. There's been
Oh,
many.
geez, like this one or that one.
I think what's really comes to mind is there was, I'll kind of stick to the theme of what we're talking about. I tried to launch a course. And it just absolutely flopped. It was very different from what I was doing, but my dad and I actually wrote this whole framework for college kids on how to get jobs. And it was how to apply for jobs and how to build resumes. And I made two mistakes here that were pretty important. Number one was I didn't do my market research ahead of time. So one thing I felt really confident in when we launched Launch 38 is I said, I've talked to clients, I've interviewed people, I have asked business mentors, and when it wasn't what they were looking for, we pivoted and we figured out what got them excited. And when I worked on this course for college students on how to get jobs, I didn't go talk to one college student. I just said, this is what would have helped me, and this is what I would have loved. But it turns out at the time, because of when we were trying to launch it, none of them were super excited about getting jobs. COVID had just happened. They were all feeling kind of like, the job market's weird, it's slow, there's different rules to play by. And so I just kind of forged ahead and said, I know what you need, customer of mine. And they were like, we hate it, we don't want it. So the first mistake was that I didn't interview anyone. The second mistake was that we launched the course, it didn't go well. And after 2 weeks, I just said, never mind, let's just scrap it. And I just gave in to kind of the embarrassment of, okay, this isn't necessarily working. I never want to talk about it again. I never want to bring this up. Let's just focus on what's working. And what's, I think, was my biggest miss there is had I stopped, like we did with Launch 38, and said, wait a minute, something's not right. Something's not working. How can we revamp this? How can we make it what customers want? How can we go do some research and kind of repivot this? I would have come to some answers that I think it would have been profitable. I think I wouldn't have chalked this up to, oh, this is a big failure, but I would have been able to kind of get it to a place that was better. And instead I just said, let's just throw it in the garage and hopefully no one ever saw the video and we'll just say that that was a mistake. And so for me, the failure isn't that it didn't make money. The failure is that I let my own insecurity say, hey, you had this crazy idea and you only gave it 60 seconds before you said, this is embarrassing, I'm done. And I think sometimes it does take some time to let things run their course, and we should have tweaked some things, but I was too arrogant to say, hey, let's go back to the drawing board. And I think that's what has made Launch 38 more successful, is because that's exactly what we did.
Wow, that's very interesting. Now, I mean, I think you're probably, I wouldn't be too hard on yourself about not doing market research. I think a lot of people don't do that, you know? Well, I think about the one I'm launching right now, like personally, like I hear a lot of similar things I think that I did. I thought that I did my market research. Maybe I didn't do quite enough. Because as I've gone and launched this thing as well, again, like I didn't, there was a very, very small percentage of people that were excited about it.
Right.
But am I going to be arrogant enough to not go back and see like, hey, how can I tweak this? How can I do this? Cause you know, I've also thought that thought has crossed my mind of like, screw this. I'm just done. It's just not, it's going to be a money pit, whatever. I don't want to do it. I just want to focus on what's working. But just like you, I think like that's why future endeavors and future things will end up working, is because again, like you can't give something 60 seconds and then it automatically, because I would say there's probably going to be about 99% of things that happen that way are going to happen that way.
I'll throw in a bonus failure there too. Okay. I started believing people on TikTok who said it should work immediately and you should get rich quick, right? And there's so many videos out there who are like, I launched my course and made 7 figures 7 minutes after launching. And you're like, oh my gosh. And what they don't tell you is that they put, you know, $500,000 into ad spend, and that they had this whole campaign that actually took them 2 years to build this all out. They don't give you the behind the scenes like that. They just tell you, I had instant success and you should too. And I believed them. And so when we launched this and it didn't go well, I bought into this whole myth of, it should be easy. And I really believe that breaking through that level of making anything profitable just takes such hard work.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a microwave society, right? This keeps coming up again and again in my conversations. Like everyone wants it now and they want it. Like you said, I think a lot of us can fall for this. Like you only see, that's the sexy marketing, right? Like that's the headline. That's the thing that gets those TikTok views. Of my gosh, look at this awesome thing. I made $1 million off this new platform I just launched. And it's like,
right.
Great, but no one sees the 10 years of failures and the millions of dollars you've wasted on other stupid stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, don't fall for the microwave stuff. Don't fall for there's no shortcut to hard work. There's no shortcut to doing the work, doing that market research and putting in that time and don't be afraid to give things some work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And also, it's okay if people say, hey, I don't think that'd be a good fit for me. Like, instead of saying, oh, they just don't get it. Because when we launched the course for college kids, anytime somebody was like, I don't know if that would necessarily be something that I'd invest in, I was basically like, well, then you're not my target client. My target client became people who believe in me, which was a terrible mistake to make. Instead, when Launch 38 started happening and we started asking these questions, if somebody said, that course sounds long, I started saying, what would be more helpful? What would make you want to spend that money? And what would make the biggest difference for you? And I started teasing this out and ended up making way more money than the course that just cost me a ton of money, because I wasn't limiting myself to, you have to be Susie's number one fan in order to be a target audience member.
That's super useful. I found myself doing the same thing as I was at these launch events was, you know, that I could tell automatically someone like eyes were glazing over when I was explaining this thing. And then I was like, okay, this isn't a sale that's going to happen. And I was like, well, okay. Like from what I showed you, like What would make you like think that this would be useful? What could you use something like this for? Like, what else do you think would be helpful for you? You know, and that was where I got the answers that I needed, which weren't the answers I wanted, honestly, to be very frank with you. You know what I mean? But
And
that's very interesting.
a lot of marketing companies, actually, Donald Miller, who runs StoryBrand, says if you've got awesome people and an awesome product, but you're not selling, it might be your position, right? And he talks a lot about messaging. I'd like to flip that though. And if you've got awesome people and awesome positioning and no one's buying, you might be selling the wrong thing. And that is such a gut punch for business owners of, but no, we've put so much into this, it can feel just like, ah, I feel like I'm going backwards and I'm not making any progress, when in fact you're closer than you were before, to kind of tweaking this and getting it to a better place.
Oh yeah, there's a sunk cost fallacy, I think, that happens with that. I've been through that many times of like, oh my God. But then you have to look at the facts. Like I remember for myself at least, I would feel like I was going backwards, but then I realized I would feel that way. And that was, the feelings were subjective, because then I would look at the facts and I'd be like, well, no, I keep making more and more money and I keep having more and more clients. So why do I feel like I'm not, like, you know what I mean? So, but when you look at facts, you look at and feelings, they're completely different, you know, but they can be at least. So very, very interesting. Very interesting. Okay. Well, I think we can start wrapping this up here. Do you have anything else that you'd like to talk about before we sign off?
I mean, if anything, I think your audience is so interesting. If you draw these people who have these crazy business ideas, and I love to talk to those people. I think just if you have something that you're kicking around and you're like, I don't know why it's not quite landing yet, I'd love to talk to you about it. And just kind of think through that. So that is my favorite thing to do, is hear about people's wacky business ideas.
Very cool. So how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so if you're interested in Launch 38, go to launch38.com, and we'll get you registered. You have your website up by next week. And if you are somebody who is kicking around a new business idea, lawson-house.com is going to be the best place to get in contact with us.
Okay. And that's launch 3838, not like
38,
spelled out 30. Yeah.
yep.
So
The
we'll have
numbers, yeah.
the links for all that in the show notes. So,
Awesome.
yeah, that's awesome. I love that you just offered to be like a sounding board too, because you know, a lot of times I have that with people that come in and I'm like, okay, you got about a half-baked idea here. Let's calm down. Let's figure this out. You know what I mean? So that's super useful. That's super
Awesome. Yeah,
useful.
I love that. And you're not going to come in too unprepared. I have about 14 business ideas a day, so I'll be right there with you.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Susie, for joining the show. Really appreciate it. So you guys don't forget, if you go to the launch38.com in the show notes and you do want to end up using that, don't forget, use the code DAPPER250. All caps, DAPPER 250. You'll save you $250 on Launch 38. It's an awesome service. And it's just really gonna help you. You know what I mean? Like, I think we're all in this phase now, I think, where there's this great resignation, more people are freelancing than ever. You know, something like this can really get you. You have to move first. You have to move fast. You have to take action. You can't sit on the sidelines anymore. And this is such a perfect tool, to get moving, to make something happen, and to get some traction in whatever you're doing. So highly encourage you, check it out. It's high quality stuff. Okay.
Thank you so
So
much.
absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for coming on, Susie. Really appreciate you. And for the rest of you, that's it for today. For this episode, we'll come back here with another awesome guest here very soon. So appreciate all of you listening. As always, please like, subscribe, and share the show. And we'll talk to you all next time. Have a good one.